be seated. There's an outline for you on the back table as we begin a new series for us this day. It's coming from the book of Philippians. It's part of the pericope, the readings of the year as we move through the church cycle, this church year. We're in the season of Pentecost, which is marked by the color green. The day of Pentecost is marked by the color red of the coming and sending of the Holy Spirit. The season of Pentecost is marked by the color green as a season of growth and maturity and growing into who we are as people marked by the Holy Spirit. And so for the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks or so, we're going to move through the book of Philippians as we're given opportunity to grow and mature in our faith until the end of October. So outlines will be on the back table for you. Join me in the scriptures as we look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, particularly today. What if there were something that I told you you could possess in life that you didn't have to purchase, you didn't have to climb over your friends to get? It was something so precious to you that you would guard it and keep it and celebrate and give thanks for it, but it was also something that you would want to share. And that in sharing this, those around you, those who knew you, would say, I want that too. How do I get that? And then you don't have to digest it. You don't have to purchase it. It's not dependent on your mood or the weather or anything like that. It's something that's given to us because of who you are, of who we are. And this thing that you can have is yours until eternity. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you're thinking about right now. What word, what phrase, what thought might fit this for me, for us? It flows out of what we're told in verse 2 from Paul and Timothy writing to the church in Philippi, where they would express grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that which binds us together is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in this grace and this peace that our Father's given to us in His one and only Son, Jesus. And so, what is that to possess? That which is something that we long to have, that others will long to have as they see it within us as well, something that's ours unto eternity, flows out of this relationship that's defined by grace and peace. And that is joy. Joy, my friends. Kara. From that root word charis, which means grace. Kara is the awareness of the Lord God's grace and favor. I like this phrase. Take this into yourself. It's grace recognized. I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And joy allows that grace to be recognized in you, in me, in who we are as God's people. Joy is something that we possess freely, as the gift of grace is known in our lives. And joy is that gift that we possess that when others recognize it in our lives, they're going to want it too. And how do I get that? It's free of charge. It's not dependent on you at all. It's of the Holy Spirit because of God's charis made known in you through kara. This is what the book of Philippians is about. And this is what we're going to be focusing on for the next weeks through the end of October. As Paul would say, my friends in Philippi. You know, a pastor might say to his congregation, whom they're in relationship with because of grace, and that grace is expressed in kara, I thank my God every time I remember you. That's not a phrase to take lightly, is it? But that when we think of one another, when we pray for one another, we pray in thanksgiving for the relationship that we know expressed among us because of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. I thank my God every time I remember you. And in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Right at the beginning. Right off the bat, Paul is expressing that he knows kara, joy, in the relationships that he shares with the Philippians. Those brothers and sisters who are living there in Philippi and have come to know Jesus Christ like you and me. There's joy in their relationship, marked because of that forgiveness that's known by grace in our lives in Jesus Christ, from that partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the work of the Lord Jesus among us by his Spirit, to be expressed, to be known through joy living out in the relationships of the Philippians. And friends, I might rejoice with you too, you who are online with us as well. That joy is one of those characteristics that marks our relationship in Christ Jesus here among us. I rejoice in that. I'm glad about that. I give thanks for that. I trust you do as well. And that as we move through this series in Philippians, this might become more and more clear for us, growing, maturing in our call of charis, grace, which is lived out in kara, joy. So Paul would write to the Philippians, this church that he had on his heart, that he cared for and loved. And over these next weeks, we'll join with the Spirit, using this apostle to define for us what does a healthy, vibrant, gospel, mission-oriented existence of God's people look like, at least in the early church, but also as a reflection in you and me today in these days. As we go through these weeks, we're going to discover that joy, or its cognate rejoice, is expressed more than 16 times in this letter. 16 in these few short chapters. The Spirit wanted God's people in Philippi. He'll want us to know joy is grace recognized, and these are the ways in which it might be known. Philippians is a deeply personal letter where Paul expresses his love, his gratitude, and his care towards his brothers and sisters in Philippi, but they are not like him. The majority of them are not Israelites raised in the Jewish tradition. These are Gentiles, or as we know from the scriptures, they're called Goyim. Now, they are the ones who are not included in the Old Testament covenant, but are brought in because of God's love for the world in Jesus Christ. They're people like you and me, considered outsiders, but now brought in by grace in that relationship expressed in faith and recognized in joy. And Paul has an affinity with them. We're all different. We come from different parts of the country, of the world, maybe even. We have different backgrounds. We have different expressions of pursuits in life. The one thing we share in common together is Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And that makes us together one in that joy that Paul would know with the Philippians. Philippians feels a lot like a thank you letter. Thank you for being a partner in the gospel. Thank you for not resisting the Holy Spirit working in your heart and life, that faith would call you into the kingdom to be a fellow heir with me. Thank you that together we can share in the expressions of the kingdom so that ultimately more and more people would be connected to Jesus Christ as grace is recognized in you. Enjoy. We might say, thank you for being together as one in sharing the life and love of Jesus Christ with all, a mission expressed among us. And Paul says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in the Lord God's grace, charis, the source of our joy, and you share that together with me. Now, Paul, as he's talking to the Philippians and sharing with them this joy that they share together in Christ Jesus, these chains that he's talking about are not a metaphorical chain. He is imprisoned in Rome. He is locked up behind bars in chains, literally, in Rome. And he's writing to these Philippians hundreds of miles away about the joy that they share in Christ Jesus. It makes me pause and wonder about myself, maybe for you too. If I were in chains and imprisoned, even as many of our brothers and sisters around the world are today, would joy be one of those characteristics of life that I would be pursuing at that time? You see, joy isn't dependent on whether we're happy or not, or feel good or not. It's not dependent on where we find ourselves in a situation or not. It's not dependent on what's going on around us, because joy is dependent on grace, something outside of ourselves that has defined us even when we find ourselves in chains, imprisoned, in a place where I don't want to be, sensing and feeling all of the physical, emotional things that I don't want to be sensing and feeling, and I'd rather be someplace else. I still have joy. Joy expresses the kind of trust and confidence that we possess in the Lord, but it is difficult to express when it is painfully easy to find something to complain about. Oh, boy, does that hit home. I can find something to complain about very easily. In fact, right now, I'm kind of warm, so I could complain about it, right? But that's not dependent, or that's not figuring into my joy that we each possess. It's easy to find something to complain about, but joy rests in that to which we belong as a child of God in His grace. In the exercise of our free will, this is one of those areas that we get to choose. And Paul chooses to express joy, grace, he knows, recognized, in other words. In the morning, when I wake up, yeah, my knee hurts. I'm not sure what I'm going to have for breakfast, and so I'm maybe going to go hungry for that first few hours. And the hot water heater doesn't work. And there's lots of things that I complain about, but I'm going to choose joy, because joy has been given to me in grace. Joy is one of those few areas that every day, every moment of every day, we have a choice to choose. Am I going to choose a complaining, negative spirit, or by God's grace, am I going to choose joy? Each and every day we have that opportunity. So when we might have every earthly reason to pout, be angry, question the Lord God's plans, do we choose to rejoice, to allow grace to be recognized? And I guess that comes down to it for us, my friends, isn't it? As a relationship with Jesus Christ is known in each one of our hearts, in our lives, as grace defines that relationship, a free gift given to us outside of anything that we could do, merit, or earn on our own, it's given to us freely because of a Father who loves us and has given His one and only Son in Jesus Christ. So we know that grace expressed, recognized through joy. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel, this being in chains, imprisoned. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And for that, Paul is rejoicing, right? And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord Jesus and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Without fear. I might be chained up too. But even in that, I rejoice because of who I am in Christ Jesus. So Paul would say in verse 8, God Almighty can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is really the seat of where we find ourselves in this beginning step of with the Philippians, and that is, it's the affection of Christ Jesus that is that grace known among us so that joy might be recognized. To talk about the affection of Christ Jesus is to talk about that which is the inner seat of our being. For the Hebrews, and this is where Paul is coming from, the inner seat of one's being is your gut. It's your innards. And this word that Paul uses by the Spirit inspiring him to write to Philippi lets us know of this gut-wrenching affection that he has is the same that stirs Jesus. It's what the gospel writers, it's what Paul and the other apostles write about in moving that Jesus would come to earth, incarnate God in the flesh, and give himself for us. It's that spelunctomai, being moved from the inner parts to want to do something for somebody else. It's the affection of Christ Jesus, this gut-level compassion, the seat of the tender affections, especially known through kindness and benevolence and compassion, or it's where we understand and get the word, the concept, the truth, charis, grace. That grace moves God, his Son, his Spirit, moves them with an affection for us to be with him in eternity, that it moves us with sins forgiven and lives renewed in the joy of the Spirit to have an affection for one another that's known and expressed in the joy of the Spirit living out among us. It's the joy, the affection of Jesus Christ and him alone as Lord and Savior, one who has conquered and claimed his rightful place for you and me. He, Jesus, who lives in each one of our hearts and lives and is expressed in what's known among us as joy. Joy. And this is my prayer then. And Paul would go on to list a couple of things here for the Philippians that we might take to heart as well. This is my prayer that I might say to you as your pastor, for us here, living out grace as it's recognized in joy. It's what we might say the Spirit is saying to each one of us, the Spirit's prayer, longing for us, all to the glory and praise of the Lord God Almighty. And this is what we might hear the Spirit saying to us, that your love, your agape, your selfless giving and living towards one another may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. That the kara, the joy that each one of us possess is that grace maturing in me. Since joy is grace recognized, then let that grace be maturing in us in the expression of joy known in me. That you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So that the kara, the joy that you possess, that's in you because of grace, charis, that it would inform the choices and decisions and expressions of my life each day. That joy would be the choice expressing grace in the decisions, the expressions that I make in life each day, reflecting the kingdom in me, that I would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, so that in any and every circumstance, kara, joy, right, is recognized because Jesus lives in me. In any and every circumstance, that grace would be recognized in me. Joy. This is ours, my friends. Joy, because of grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who loves you and lives in you, is that expression of grace to be recognized through joy to the glory and praise of our saving God and among you and me in the encouragement of this life and faith in Jesus Christ. Joy and the rejoicing that we have to be one in Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You with the total being of who we are as Your saved people, to be able to express the grace that we know in Jesus through recognized grace, and that is joy. That joy is something each one of us possesses as a child of Yours, and that we have the opportunity to express and live it out to the praise of Your name, for the blessing of others, and the encouragement for one another in life as well. As Your word takes root in our heart today, and as we embark on this journey through the book of Philippians, let joy, Your grace in each one of us be recognized and expressed regardless of any circumstance, whatever I'm facing, that it would inform me each and every day so that Your name is lifted high and proclaimed. Jesus, as Lord and Savior, in me, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God then that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And may the joy of the Lord, yes, that You know by His grace, be recognized in you freely, joyfully, always. In Jesus' name.